Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pustaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desatarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato jaya mudirayat nasta prayeshu vabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter Number 12, The Killing of the Demon Agasura, Text Number 39. Sakritya Danga Pratimantarahita. Mano mai bhagavatim tado gatim sa eva nityatma sukhanubhutyabhi vyudasta mayontar gato hikim puna. Sakridya danga pratimantirahita. Mano mai bhagavatim tadogatim. Sa eva nityatma sukhanubhutyabhi. Vyudasa mayontar gato hikim puna. Sakridya danga pratimantirahita. Mano mai bhagavatim tadogatim. Sa eva nityatma sukhanubhutyabhi. Vyudasa mayontar gato hikim puna. Yudasanyon Gato Kitkim Puna. Sakrit, once only, yet, whose, Anga Pratima, the form of the Supreme Lord. There are many forms, but Krishna is the original form. Anta Ahita, placing within the core of the heart, somehow or other. Manamayi, thinking of him even by force. Bhagavatim, which is competent to offer devotional service to the Lord. Dadao, Krishna gave. Gatim, the best destination. Sa, he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva, indeed. Nitya, always. Atma, of all living entities. Sukha Anubhuti, anyone thinking of him immediately enjoys transcendental pleasure. Abhivyudashta maya. Because of illusion is completely removed, because all illusion is completely removed by him. Antagata, he is always present within the core of the heart. He, indeed, Kimpuna, what to speak. Translation. If even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasur. What then is to be said of those whose heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation? Or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The process of receiving the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. Yatpada pankaja palasha vilasa pankya. Simply by thinking of Krishna, one can attain Him very easily. Krishna is also described as having His lotus feet always within the hearts of the devotees. Bhagavan Bhakta Radhistita. In the case of Agasur, one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer to this is that he thought of Krishna for a moment with devotion. Bhaktyaham ekaya graya. Without devotion, one cannot think of Krishna. And conversely, whenever one thinks of Krishna, one undoubtedly has devotion. Although Agasura's purpose was to kill Krishna, for a moment Agasura thought of Krishna with devotion. And Krishna and his associates wanted to sport within Agasura's mouth. Similarly, Putana wanted to kill Krishna by poisoning him. But Krishna took her as his mother because he had accepted the milk of her breast. Svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Especially when Krishna appears as an avatar, anyone who thinks of Krishna in his different incarnations, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan, and especially in his original form as Krishna, attains salvation. There are many instances of this, and among them is Agasura, who attained the salvation of Sarupya Mukti. Therefore, the process is Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas jadridavrita. Those who are devotees always engage in glorifying Krishna. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam. When we speak of Krishna, we refer to all his avatars, such as Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Balaram, Shamsundar. One who always thinks of Krishna must attain vimukti, special salvation, as the Lord's personal associate. Not necessarily in Vrindavan, but at least in Vaikuntha. This is Sarupya Mukti. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Namo Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing this amazing description of how Agasura who had come there to Vrindavan to kill Krishna, and how he managed to get liberation, swarupya, mukti, not just simply sayujya mukti. Usually, demon killed by Krishna would get sayujya mukti. And that sayujya mukti is also very rare, very difficult to achieve. Great yogis, jnanis, they have to greatly endeavor to get sayujya mukti. But somehow this agasura demon was able to achieve swarupya mukti. So it is described here that somehow he thought of Krishna with devotion. Just maybe for a moment. Now, of course, we should understand to think of Krishna at the time of death is not a very easy thing. If one has not practiced throughout the life, then one will not be able to think of Krishna. Because usually at the point of death, one will think of whatever has occupied his mind throughout his life. But somehow this Agasura demon was so fortunate that even though he was envious of Krishna, he was able to get Sarupya Mukti. That means liberation into Vaikuntha. Not Goloka. He didn't get the ultimate liberation, the highest liberation in Goloka. But Vaikuntha, still very special liberation, very, very elevated position. So certainly, Maharaj Yudhisthira, if he had heard about this, he would have been very surprised. Because in the seventh canto, you have Maharaj Yudhisthira, he witnessed the killing of Shishupala. And he saw how Shishupala's soul came out of the body and entered into the effulgence of Krishna, or entered into the body of Lord Krishna. So Maharaj Yudhisthira, seeing Shishupala achieve that kind of liberation, he was surprised. He thought, how this Shishupala, he was so nasty, he was so envious of Krishna. It is said, practically from the moment he took birth, Shishupala had the habit of criticizing and condemning and insulting Krishna. Right? He was a relative of Krishna. He was the son of Damagosh. Damagosh is related to Krishna's family. So there were two brothers, Shishupala and Dantavakra. And they both had the same habit. They both had this habit of being very envious, very critical, and saying so many bad things. But somehow or other, although they were so offensive, Maharaj Yudhisthira said, somehow their tongue didn't get leprosy. You know, they said so many bad things, you would think their tongue would have got leprosy. It would have had white leprosy or something like that. But nothing happened. They remained, you know, healthy. They were not affected. And then he was surprised to see that. But he was even more surprised when he saw, when they were killed by Krishna, how their souls entered into Krishna's effulgence. And how they had achieved that liberation. So he brought this point to Narada Muni to ask him why it was like this, how these people, because usually people who are envious of Krishna, they enter into the lowest species of life. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has described the demoniac nature. Tamaham dvishita kruran samsarishu naradama. Krishna says, those who are envious and mischievous and lowest of men, then they enter into the demoniac species of life and they repeatedly take birth in these species. And birth after birth, they appear in these demonic species and sink further and further into the darkest regions of existence. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was thinking, how is it possible that Sishupal and Dantavarka, they didn't get reactions like that, but they were certainly envious. So then Narada Muni explains to Maharaj Yudhisthira how there are five different ways one can get the mercy of the Lord. Here, this we're hearing about how Agasura got the mercy of the Lord. In the seventh canto, though, Maharaj Yudhisthira is describing, Narada Muni is describing to Maharaj Yudhisthira that there are five different ways in which one can qualify for the Lord's mercy. One was the gopis by their lusty desires. Now the gopis, of course, their lust is not like the lust of the material world, because the gopis are all great devotees, that they're the greatest devotees of Krishna. They're all liberated souls. And by their lusty, but they had lusty desires for Krishna. And of course, why did they have lusty desires for Krishna? To give Krishna pleasure. Because that was pleasing to Krishna. And they're thinking they will do whatever Krishna wants. Whatever is will give him pleasure, the gopis are willing to do that. So their lusty desires are the lust of the spiritual world, not the lust of the material world. Lust of the material world is compared to iron, and the lust of the spiritual world is like gold. So the gopis, by their lusty desires, they achieve Krishna. And then Kamsa, by his fear. Kamsa was always fearful of Lord Krishna, because at the time of the marriage of Vasudeva and Devaki, it was predicted that the eighth child of Vasudeva and Devaki will kill you. So from that time, Kamsa was always fearful that this child is going to come and kill me. So Kamsa was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. So this is the principle. To get the mercy of Krishna, they're thinking of him. And Kamsa was constantly thinking of Krishna. But he's thinking Krishna's going to come and kill me. So he's thinking how to kill Krishna. And of course he sent so many demons like Aga. You know, they were all friends of Kamsa, and Kamsa had sent them to go and kill all the children in Braja. So Kamsa was absorbed in fear and he got the mercy of Krishna. And then Sishupal, by his envy, because Sishupal, as we were saying, from his very birth he was constantly envious. And then Krishna also came and kidnapped Rukmini just before Sishupal could marry her. So that didn't help matters. And then there was also Maharaj Yudhisthira's Rajasuya sacrifice, when they wanted to select someone who is the most worshipable person for everyone in this assembly. And then they suggested Krishna, and Sishupal just blew his top. What? Krishna, because he's so envious of Krishna, and he began to insult Krishna, how he's just a cowherd boy, and he's harassed, so many insults. So it was then, at that time, Krishna threw the Sudarshan Chakra and cut off the head of Sishupal, and the soul entered into Krishna. In front of everyone's eyes, everyone could see the soul come out from Sishupal's body and enter into Lord Krishna. Krishna arranges. Usually it's not perceivable, but Krishna arranges the inconceivable to be conceived by his mercy. So Sishupal, by his envy, achieved the mercy of the Lord. And then the Pandavas, by their filial relationship with Lord Krishna. No, not the Pandavas, the Yadus, the Yadu dynasty, by their filial relationship with Krishna. So they enjoyed that connection with Lord Krishna, so they could constantly think of Krishna. And of course, they were all living there in Dwarka with Krishna as well, and enjoying his association. So they were constantly in thought of Krishna. And then the Pandavas, by their affection for Krishna, because the Pandavas went through so many difficulties, but they always had that affection for Krishna, particularly Arjuna, who was a very intimate friend of Krishna. And that's why Krishna picked him to speak the Bhagavad Gita. But all the Pandavas had that affection, the friendly relationship with Krishna. And then Narada Muni says, and all the devotees, by their devotional service, then they also qualify for the mercy of Krishna. Because the devotees, by doing devotional service, they should also be thinking of Krishna, constantly thinking of Krishna. That is the real meaning of devotional service. Of course, the amazing thing, however, which Narada Muni says to Maharaj Yudhisthira, is that he said that Narada Muni feels that one who is the enemy of Krishna is more absorbed in thought of Krishna than those who are simply doing devotional service. That those who are his enemies, their thought of Krishna is so intense that it's greater than the devotee who's doing just doing devotional service. So Narada Muni says, wow, these demons, these enemies of Krishna, they're really fortunate because they're so absorbed in thought of Krishna. However, Prabhupada cautions us in the purport there that don't think you can imitate the demons, these demons. Like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was always, he was attached to his son, Prahlad. So he was thinking of Prahlad. So he got, by remembering Prahlad, he was liberated. Don't think we can imitate these kind of demons. In fact, that's a very dangerous thing to do. Because devotional service should be favorable to Krishna. Anukoyena Krishnanu Shilanam, right? Devotional service must be favorable to Krishna. And it can be also any of Krishna's different avatars, incarnations. They're all in relationship to Krishna. Prabhupada quotes the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu, Kala Niyamena Tishtam. All these different avatars, they're all Krishna appearing in different forms, in different pastimes, different circumstances. And if one can fix his mind on these different forms of the Lord, then that is the success of life. So we're told this Agasura, somehow he thought of Krishna just for a moment, with devotion anyway. Why did he have devotion? We can't understand. At the same time, we know all of these demons who were the friends of Kamsa, they're not ordinary souls, because somehow they have come there and they've been able to witness Lord Krishna's pastimes and to take part in the pastime of Krishna. This Agasura was such a great demon. By his power, he could transform himself into this form of a snake, one yojana long, 8 miles long. And we're told also how when he opened his mouth, there was this very horrible smell coming from inside the intestines. Because snakes, you know, what do they eat? Well, must have been eating other people. Just like Putana, his elder sister, right? Putana had been engaged in killing children also. Of course, it's pointed out that they didn't kill the children of the devotees. They just killed the children of the demons. They were thinking they were killing the devotees, but the people they were killing were the children of the demons, not the children of the devotees. Because Kamsa was thinking, all the children born, one of them must be born to kill me. Go and kill all the children. So he sent demons like Putana and then Aga. They'd been killing. So they were sinful. Now how could they do devotional service? Yesham twanta gatam papam jananam punya karmana tidanva mohanir mukta bhajanti mam dridavrata. That only people who perform pious activities over many lifetimes and who are freed from the reactions of sins can engage in my devotional service. How did Agasura get this qualification? It's inconceivable. And we were told, Prabhupada says, that he thought of Krishna for a moment. Now, Gadvanga Maharaj also thought of Krishna for a moment. Right? Gadvanga Maharaj, he also had a moment. He was fighting. Gadvanga Maharaj had come to the higher planets to fight on behalf of the demigods against the demons. And the demigods were very much grateful to him. So they offered him a blessing. So Gadvanga Maharaj asked the demigods, just tell me, how long do I have left? How much more time do I have left in this material world? Or in this material body? And the demigods told him, you have one moment. So immediately Gadvanga Maharaj transported himself from the higher planets down to this earth planet. And he fixed his mind on the Lord and he gave up his body and went back to Godhead. He was very detached. He could do, but he only had a moment. He didn't get much time for preparation. But that's all it takes, one moment. You think of the Lord. But the difference is Gadvanga Maharaj was a devotee. So for a devotee to think of the Lord, yeah, he can do it. But here's Agasura. Is Agasura a devotee? Well, certainly. He's not recognized as a devotee. He's a demon. And he's the friend of Kamsa. But did Kamsa also got liberated, right? Kamsa also got liberated. We were discussing in another place I was talking. Somebody told me that Prabhupada, it's written there that Kamsa also got Sarupya Mukti. I thought he only got Sayujya Mukti, but it's described he also got Swarupya. So fortunate. How these demons got so much good fortune? Because they were thinking of Krishna. So Agasura, he opens his mouth, the cowherd boys walk in, and Lord Krishna, he didn't really want them to go in. He was like, no, don't go in. He's a demon. He's not a devotee. This is not just some playground for you. This is some big demon come in disguise. But the cowherd boys, Krishna thought, don't go, but they'd already gone in. How is it the cowherd boys can overrule Krishna's desire? Krishna's the supreme controller. Krishna, you know, we're the servants of the duty of the devotee is to serve Krishna. How is it the cowherd boys could go in there? Is it Krishna is controlled by the desire of his devotees. Krishna is subservient to his devotees' desire. What the devotees want, Krishna, okay. So the cowherd boys had gone in, and then the demons waiting, Agasura is waiting, because he wants Krishna. So he must have been thinking of Krishna, definitely at that time, because he was thinking, I don't just want the cowherd boys, I want Krishna, because it was Krishna who killed my sister. It was Krishna who killed my brother, Baka. I want Krishna. So he's thinking of Krishna, and somehow there's some devotion there. And Krishna goes in to the mouth. Maybe, I don't know how. How does Agasura have the devotion for Krishna? I don't know how it could happen that he has this devotion, but not for very long, but just for a moment. And so Krishna goes in his mouth, and then Agasura closes the mouth, and then Krishna expands himself. And then the other pastimes, Krishna, you know, like Damodar Leela or Bakasura or Trinavarta and Saktasura, Krishna is still a child, but he kills the demons in his child, in his baby form, in his little child form. But for Agasura, Krishna has to kill him the more conventional way. He just expands himself, makes himself huge, blows up, and then blows up the insides of Aga. And then his life air goes out the top of the head, out of the, what's that place called? The Brahmarandra. So that, Prabhupada writes, when there's a hole in the head, and you see the soul has gone out the top of the head, said that's the sign of a great yogi. So Agasura, you know, his soul went out the top of the head. So that is an indication of his very elevated position by the arrangement of Lord Krishna. So we're seeing how merciful Lord Krishna is, that he can deliver even these demons because they're thinking of him. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing to Maharaj Parikshit, just think how fortunate a devotee is that if they hold the lotus feet of the Lord in their heart, or if they keep the Lord in their heart. And certainly, the Lord is in the heart of the devotees. Then they're so much more fortunate. They'll get an even better destination than Agasura. Agasura, he could get Swarupya Mukti, he could go to Vaikuntha. But the devotees of the Lord, they're even more fortunate. They can go to the Supreme Abode, they can go to Goloka, they can enjoy the Braja, the pastimes of Vrindavan with Krishna. So we want to understand the importance of thinking of the Lord, remembering him. And Prabhupada gives us the formula how to think of Krishna. Satayam kirtayanto mam yatantas jadradavrata. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination. These great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So this is devotee. Right? Mahatmanas to Mamparta Daivim Prakriti Mashrita Bhajanti Ananya Manaso Gyadva Bhutadim Avyayam. These great souls are under the protection of my divine energy. They are fully engaged in my devotional service. So this is the method by which we can think of Krishna. We chant his name, we worship his deity, we hear his pastimes, and in this way our mind will become more and more absorbed in thought of Krishna. Lila smaranam, right? This is the business of devotees. Every day we read the Srimad Bhagavatam and we get an opportunity to reflect more on the pastimes of Lord Krishna. How Lord Krishna performed these wonderful pastimes in Braja. How he liberated these demons, these souls who appeared in demonic bodies, how he liberated them to the spiritual world. So, Prabhupada mentions different personalities, different forms of the Lord. He says, when we speak of Krishna, we refer to all his avatars. And then he says, Krishna, Narayan, Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Balaram, Shamsundar. it's all Krishna, right? Krishna Balaram, Shamsundar, Lord Chaitanya, Govinda. Prabhupada didn't go far away from Lord Krishna. He wants us to think of Krishna. Think of Krishna. And he says, you get vimukti. You get a very special liberation. Not just mukti, but vimukti. Very special liberation. But he says, special liberation as the Lord's personal associate. But then he says, not necessarily in Vrindavan. And so at least Agasura, he didn't get to Vrindavan. But we don't mind. Vaikuntha must be very blissful, very wonderful to be there in Vaikuntha. Okay, we got any questions? Yeah, Prabhu?
Thank you, Maharaj. That was a wonderful class. In fact, hearing you speak on the Bhagavatam, it clicked for me. I understood this quandrum. He's not a devotee, but he had devotion and thus thought of Krishna. Prabhupada in the purport says, if you don't have devotion, you can't think of Krishna. So to have thought of him, you had to have...
So that's where his devotion came from.
But this is the point that I want to make, that I couldn't understand his reading it myself, but hearing you speak on the Bhagavatam, it came to me. Using the examples from Narada Muni and the same principles given in the 10th canto with the gopis, I think, chapter 49, where it talks about friendship, affection, fear, anger, like that. So Kamsa was Krishna conscious, but he was unfavorably Krishna conscious. He was a demon, but he was always thinking of Krishna. That thinking of Krishna is a form of devotion. It's just not pure devotional service, and it's not favorable devotional service. So Agasura was unfavorably absorbed in thought of Krishna, at least for a moment. You got to realize at that moment when you've swallowed him, and oh my God, he's expanding, expanding. He had the understanding, oh my goodness, this is God. It has to be God. And it's the same principle with Sishupala. It's mentioned in Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. Hiranyakashipu, because he didn't realize that Nrisimhadeva, this half-man, half-lion form was God, his next birth he took birth as Ravana and had more opulences than Indra himself. Super birth. And then when he was killed by Ram, he still didn't understand that Ram was God. He just thought, this is an extraordinarily powerful human. And because of that, he had to take birth again. But it's stated that Shishupal was incredibly wealthy. I mean, his birth is Shishupal, the son of, you said, what was his father's name?
Shishupal? Damagosh.
Damagosh. And I guess, you know, incredible birth is what Rupa Goswami says. And then when that Sudarshan Chakra was coming to cut off his head, his seeing that Sudarshan Chakra come in that last moment, he realized, oh my God, Krishna is God. And because of that, that's where he got the Vimukti. He got liberated, going back to Vaikuntha. Of course, it's Jai Vijay Leela, but that was the qualification, Rupa Goswami says. Two things. Krishna is the most merciful form of the Lord. We're not talking about Lord Chaitanya here, but other than the other avatars of the Lord. And he's quoting, referring to Ram and Nrisimha. Krishna specifically, there's perfection in his mercy, Shakti, so that he can so easily give liberation to these demons. So the devotion wasn't favorable. That's what I wanted to emphasize. It wasn't favorable, but it's considered devotion because he was absorbed angrily in thinking of Krishna. And that's no, like Vaina is the example in that seventh canto purport you referred to. He was always cursing God. He didn't believe in Vishnu. He thought he was Vishnu. But because he wasn't meditating on the form and the person of the Lord, just the concept of God, like all these foolish atheists of today, they don't get this good fortune because they're not absorbed in thought of the Lord, the person, the Adi Purusha. So anyway, thank you for a wonderful class. I hope that...
Yeah, thank you very much. Very nice points. Yeah, important. And so I'm appreciating that, as Prabhupada had said in the purport, thinking of Krishna means there must be devotion. But Prabhupada points out that the devotion can be unfavorable devotion. Not favorable devotion, but unfavorable devotion.
Question from online, from Sitala Devi Dasi. Most respectful obeisances to Nrisimha Maharaj's lotus feet. Thank you for a most excellent class. Only by thinking of Krishna, then we can attain him. But during the process of our practicing Krishna consciousness, there are a lot of people, they join in. But we see even some advanced devotees, they left Krishna consciousness movement. How can they leave Krishna consciousness? Now, how can we become always dedicated ourselves to the instructions of Guru and Krishna and keep our steady practice. Thank you.
Well, you should understand advanced devotees don't leave Krishna consciousness. What she's thinking, somebody is advanced just because they've been around a long time. They may have been around in the Krishna consciousness movement for some time, but that doesn't make them advanced. We have to look at their spiritual qualification. We have to look at their practice and how they, the standards they follow. Then we can understand how much they're advanced or not. Somebody's leaving Krishna consciousness means they're not practicing very well. Means they're not very fit, steady, and they're not keeping the principles very closely. Not attentive to spiritual practice, they're not hearing regularly. If they were doing these things, they would never leave. People only leave because their material desires. They're not able to put aside their material desires. But if they were fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, they would never give up Krishna consciousness. So people who leave Krishna consciousness indicates they're having spiritual problems. It means they're not doing everything they should be doing to keep up their devotional. So she wants to know how to stay in Krishna consciousness. So what you have to do to stay aboard, you have to have strong association. You have to somebody pull your ear, just like a teacher will pull the ear of the child. When the child is a rascal, when the child misbehaves, then the teacher may pull the ear of the child to get the child to behave properly. So you need somebody to pull your ear to keep you in line so that you don't go off. So that you need somebody who's going to keep you on track, keep you steady and make you humble. You need that kind of association to keep yourself alive in Krishna consciousness. And if you have that kind of association, then you won't give up Krishna consciousness.
By offenses.
Oh, okay. Prabhupada was saying that we can also be put out of Krishna consciousness if we commit offenses against the movement or against devotees. If we go against, if we commit some offense against them, we say use improper words and do things improperly. So we have to learn to cultivate humility, and we have to think of ourselves lower than the straw in the street. Because we're proud, we think we're important, we think we have some big position, we think we have some standing in society, and we want to be respected. But Lord Chaitanya teaches us to offer all respect to others. Amanina manadena means to offer respect to others, to give respect and not to be anxious to get respect for yourself. So this is very important to remember Lord Chaitanya's teaching in the third verse of Shikshastikam, and that will keep you strong in Krishna consciousness.
Last question from Subhudi Rai Das, obeisances to Guru Maharaj. In one article by Aindra, I saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore claims a pure devotee should not participate in the kirtan led by those who are offending the holy names. So who are those offenders? Maybe the people who are hiding their motivation and to perform kirtan, simply for money or to increase their sexual attraction or for reputation, and they are, for this purpose they are chanting, but such chanting can only bring material sense enjoyment. How can we properly understand this paragraph and how can we practice it?
Okay, well, that's a very important point, that the chanting must be pure. You're going to chant the holy name. It must be done with pure devotion. Then it will have the proper potency. But if we become a professional kirtanier, just simply performing for some material motive, then it's not pure chanting. So Prabhupada was very cautious about these things. I remember one time here in Mayapur, Janani Vas Prabhu, maybe you remember, there was a kirtan competition and different kirtan groups came to perform and there was judging who was the best kirtan, and they would do kirtan and dance and like this. But Prabhupada stopped it all. He said, this is all nonsense. He said, this is not pure chanting. He wanted us all just to chant with love and devotion for the pleasure of Krishna. Not to be the best, not to win a competition. He wanted us to chant as devotional service. Devotional service means Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma janavritam anukuyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttamam. The highest devotion is that devotion which is rendered without desire for any fruit of gain or philosophical speculation, and it should be favorable to Krishna, and it should be rendered constantly. So, yes, if one is simply performing kirtan like some professional musician, this is not pure devotion. And if then there's also the problem with the opposite sex, that young women come and they like all the kirtaniers. And so these kind of problems are there in kirtan. So kirtan has to be performed in a very serious mood. You have to be very conscious, trying to please Krishna. Love and devotion is the qualification. You know, okay, they spend hours and hours, lessons to play harmonium, to play madanga, and to play kartals, everything very perfectly. Have everything very perfectly, make a very beautiful sound, but there must also be pure devotion. There must be the real mood of devotion there. It's very nice, you play very well, that's good. Prabhupada also liked to hear the devotees play instruments properly, but the mood must also be very carefully controlled to be done for the pleasure of Krishna. What do you say, Prabhu? Janani Vas. Comment.
Yeah, the chanting is the main thing. It's the chanting that reveals the holy name, or the presence of the holy name. And then it's the holy name reveals the form of the Lord, and the holy name reveals the qualities of the Lord, and the holy name will reveal the lila. It's the progression. So in the beginning, purity has to be there for any of these realizations. But when we can't chant purely, then we will feel the presence of the Lord, and that will be the beginning of your chanting. Thank you.
It really is a razor's edge, isn't it, Maharaj? Because the devotees who take the time to learn the expertise in playing the instruments and learning the control of the vocal cords and singing, etc., they will say that that Krishna likes the best. The best should be offered to Krishna. But you're making the most important what Krishna is looking. Most important point: what Krishna is looking for is the bhakti, the desire to please Him. And no matter how expert you may be, if that's missing, then there's no spiritual benefit. There'll be material byproducts. I like to say the chump change of the holy name. You can get your sense gratification. You can get liberation. You're not going to get even what Agasura got in this pastime. And then the other thought that comes to my mind is all these instruments in all the kirtan melas, they have all these instruments playing, and even they stop the chanting of the mantra to let somebody play a saxophone or a violin or something like that. And I just have my hesitation whether or not Srila Prabhupada would approve of that. I really do. And I hope I'm not stepping on toes, because they will quote one quote where Prabhupada said, for enticing the public, one can do this. But most of the kirtan melas aren't the public, they're the in-house devotees. And so I really wonder whether or not Srila Prabhupada would be pleased with taking... In fact, I'll say it equivocally, I'm convinced he would not like it, and I'll use the example. You remember Sat Goswami Astakam on the album that had the sitar playing? The sitar accompaniment to Srila Prabhupada singing the Sat Goswami Astakam? You remember that? Bhajan that Prabhupada sang? Anyway, it's recorded. I bought it as an LP album when I was becoming a devotee. And then I later heard that Srila Prabhupada didn't like the sitar accompaniment on the recording. It was dubbed over Srila Prabhupada's chanting by a devotee. And he said, this will distract them from hearing the sound vibration of the glorification of the six Goswamis. Mm-hmm. Now that's a pretty strong reference to show Prabhupada didn't like distraction of music, very nicely played musical instruments along with the chanting. So anyway, I'm just putting it out there. Anyone hearing, they have to contemplate these things for themselves and introspectively look at their own motives. But it all goes back for us. What will please Prabhupada? If we stay to His standards, we know then Krishna will be pleased.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Very nice. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki. God Premanande.